Couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were visiting my family in Victoria on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. If you don't know where that is, that's sort of about 75 miles straight north of Seattle, Washington. So it's on that coast. One day we were gathered at my sister's house for a big dinner and all the family came over. And at one point my mom looked over at me and she said, "You know, when you turn your head just right and the light catches you right, sometimes you look just like your father." I suppose in some respects I do, especially in the hair department. You know, we're a little low on hair. Hair deprived, bald privileged, solar dome, whatever. But we were both about the same. I'm sure I also reflect him in a number of other ways. Some of them are probably good and some of them maybe are not so good. That's why it's more important, I think, that I reflect my heavenly father than it is that I reflect my earthly father. This being Father's Day, we're looking briefly at a passage that teaches us something about our father. So if you would open your Bible with me this morning, we're looking at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to start right at the first verse. Here's what it says. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." Our focus this morning is on that very first verse that has that word I talked to the children about, that word lavish, lavished his love on us. Would you pray with me so that we can unpack this with the Lord's help? Our Father who is in heaven, we confess that we do not understand the full measure of your love for us. You so loved the world that you sent your only son, Jesus. Teach us what it means to be loved as your children. Teach us how to love others like that. Reveal yourself today in your word and in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are some things in life we just can't do without. Have you noticed that? You know, some things that we don't want to do without. And sometimes there are things that we don't know we can't do without until we see them. Like, for example, I was at my mother-in-law's last summer. We were visiting, and I went over to the local drugstore, and I saw this item. Maple bacon potato chips. Now, I didn't know I couldn't do without it until I saw it. And then I kind of wanted to have it, you know? Then I saw this on the internet a little while ago. This is maple bacon aioli. Now, I like aioli. Aioli is made with olive oil and garlic and a lot of ingredients that are whipped up. And it's really great for dipping stuff in, you know? And it's really great on burgers and stuff like that. But this is maple bacon aioli. And again, I didn't even know I needed this until I saw it. And then I realized it would go really, really good with this. These are maple bacon croissants. I know they're not crescent-shaped, but it's the same stuff, right? This is the kind of stuff that I think I just can't live without. Maybe. Well, our Father, his love is kind of like that. Sometimes we don't realize how much we need it until we don't have it, or at least we don't feel like we're experiencing it. Or sometimes we don't realize how much we need it until we discover it. You know, we go through periods of life where we're just not aware of certain things, that it's just not on our radar. And then when we really begin to understand the Father's love, then we realize how much we need it. I was reading a collection of research on the effect of fathers in Child Encyclopedia the other day, and they were talking about all these different studies that show the effect of fathers in the home. It talked about, you know, how fathers' engagement with their children positively impacts their social abilities, their ability to get along with others. Studies link a father's influence to learning outcomes, social success, family success. They say that men begin to learn about fathering when they're just a tyke. And we begin to absorb that as we grow up. We learn how to father, and it shapes us in how we're going to parent, and it also shapes how we're going to partner up in marriage. It can also shape negative behavior, such as risky adolescent sexual behavior is connected with the relationship with the father sometimes. Studies show that a father's engagement in life decreases boys' negative social behavior, like delinquency, and it decreases girls' psychological problems as they grow into young adulthood. Now, I also want to note that absent fathers can have a huge impact if they stay involved. And also, a positive ongoing involvement of other men as father figures, that also is very, very important. Clearly, our fathers impact our lives. They affect who we are, even when we have only had them perhaps for a short time in our childhood. They still impact who we turn out to be. Let me put up a picture here and ask you, do you know what this is? Any ideas? You know what this is called? Heart attack. Yeah, somebody said a heart attack. I think that was my wife. No, is that you? In Yorkshire, where my dad is from, in England, this is called a full English breakfast. Sometimes it's called a full fry-up. And this isn't even the biggest one that they do. I mean, I saw one that was about three times bigger than this. In fact, I saw the one I saw, they figured had about 8,000 calories in it. 8,000 calories in one meal. Now, you'll notice the variety. There's a lot of different variety up there. You know, there's two different kinds of sausage. There's, tomatoes and eggs and toasts and black pudding along the left side. If you don't recognize that, it's made out of blood. There's beans in the middle, and then there's this good old back bacon at the bottom. Lovely stuff, you know. When we talk about Canadian bacon, that's what we mean by Canadian bacon. When we come down here, us Canadians, what we call, what you call Canadian bacon, we call that ham. But that's what real Canadian bacon looks like, and obviously they eat it in Britain as well. I love this image of the English breakfast because there's so much on this plate that you probably can't sit. I know some probably could, but Guy, you could probably eat this, right? But some of us, we wouldn't be able to get through all of it because there's so much of it. Well, we can't ever finish it all up, maybe. But God's love is like that. God's love is lavish. God's love is extravagant. There's so much of it, we can't consume it all in one sitting. In fact, we can't ever finish up the Father's love because there is so much of it. When we come to faith in Jesus, we are called the children of God. And the Bible tells us that God has lavished his love on us. And that means that he's given us so much love that we can't hardly contain it all, like we explained with the kids this morning with the glass. When we open our hearts to our Heavenly Father, all that stuff really fills us up to the point of overflowing. And it begins to affect not just us, but the people around us. We can't contain it all. And the cool thing is that God's love has endless variety. There are endless ways in which God loves us and cares for us. I had a complicated relationship with my own father. I can remember seeing things like my first James Bond movie with my dad. Going to see The Sting and Star Wars and other films. He was into films, and I loved them too. I remember innumerable late-night talks where we talked about things like politics and religion and science and music. I got my taste in music from him. He's the one who introduced me to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Beach Boys and a whole lot of other stuff. And I can remember us laughing our butts off as we listened to Dr. Hook's cover of the Rolling Stone. Or songs by Ray Stevens, you know, there's just a lot of things that we enjoyed together. And I loved my dad. But my dad had a dark side, and he was often very harsh and critical, especially in his latter years, and that made it difficult to go visit him, and it created a space between us. My dad died about 8 years ago. But you know, there are times I dearly wish that I could still just sit down with him and talk with him about all these things that, you know, we used to talk about, especially later at night. Our earthly fathers are not perfect. And because they're not perfect, I find it helpful, at least for me, to focus on this extravagant love this passage talks about, the extravagant love, the lavish love of the Heavenly Father. The things my earthly father seemed incapable of providing, I find that most of them I could receive through my Heavenly Father, through this lavish love. That scripture verse at the beginning says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We're not only children of earthly fathers by biological means, but we're called children of God by spiritual means, by God himself. So when we come to faith in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, we are reborn into a new family. We're adopted by our Father. And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven. And I love that passage. I love, there's an Aramaic word in there, this word Abba, that you don't necessarily always see translated into English, but it's a beautiful word. It would really be translated as something like daddy. It's a very intimate word. It's a very affectionate word for God. And it's an intimate family relationship that we're adopted into. Paul says in the book of Romans, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. This Greek word for sonship is kind of cool. It means that we have the full legal rights as if we were born into that family biologically from the beginning. And it's kind of cool. And it refers not just to men, it refers to men and women. This idea of sonship is a complicated one because in Jesus' day, inheritance only happened between a father and sons. The daughters were not included. And then Jesus came, and Jesus kind of came to shake things up and make things different and put things on a different plane. And now he says, you've been adopted to sonship. You have the same rights. Everybody has that right as we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we are all heirs. We're all part of God's inheritance. During my visit with my mom said to me, you look just like your father. We can say that same thing about Jesus. John 14:8, Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father. You know, if I could only see the Father, then I'd be okay. Show us the Father. Show us what he looks like. And Jesus says to him, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. Colossians 1:15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I keep saying that the Heavenly Father gives us what our earthly father can't provide. But even that, well, we can relate to God in a way sometimes that we can't relate to our earthly fathers. But I know for some people that feels a bit airy-fairy, that's a bit nebulous. It's kind of like smoke. You know, we don't know what God looks like. We haven't seen God. We think of God sometimes in very generic terms, very general terms, but Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the perfect reflection of the Father. He looks just like him. He looks just like his Father. Sometimes we picture God as kind of an angry old man. You see that portrayal sometimes? Try this. When you think of God, picture Jesus instead. That mentor, teacher, Son of God, he shows us who our Father is. that person who gave his life for you on the cross, he shows us what the love of God looks like. That Jesus, who was raised from the dead, is the perfect reflection of his Father. The one who saves you, if you believe, is his Father's Son. Remember that English breakfast we looked at a minute ago? God invites you to sit down for a feast. Now, it's not a feast of food. It's a feast of love. He loves you. He loves you. And I know it's hard to grasp that sometimes, just the extent of that love. But it's love that doesn't end. It's love that's bigger than this breakfast by a long, long shot. It's love that never, ever runs out. It's love that's always there. And those of us who are fathers, we aspire to be like our Heavenly Father. You know, we pick and choose, don't we? We choose the things that were good out of our past. You know, I look at the things that were really great about my parents, about my dad, and I try to pass those good things on to my kids. But I also try to hand on to them a heavy helping of the Father's love at the same time. You know, that's important. But it's something we can't do by ourselves. It's something that we need God's help with. It's something we need to walk with God in. We can only do it through Jesus, the Son of God. And we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, you are the perfect reflection of our Father. Produce in us today what you would reflect of him. Teach us to love like you love. We are heirs of heaven because you have adopted us as your children. Lord, help us to pass on to our children all that you've given us. We ask your blessing on our fathers today, each one here who is a father, and each of our fathers. We ask you to bless the memory of fathers who are no longer with us. May we reflect you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.